Okay, this is August 26th, and tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that that is slowly sinking into your consciousness. I hope that you're thinking about it during the day. I'm coming to the realization that you truly are one with this thing that we call God, or this thing that we call the universe, or you may call it Charlie. I don't care what you call it. And neither does this thing care what you call it. In religious science, we call it the thing. Because no one knows exactly what it is. But you have to come to a realization that you are connected to it, that you are one with it, and that you can use your mind in a creative way to bring into your life what you want. So it all boils down to here, we're talking about people think it's spiritual, they think it's a religion, they think it's all kinds of things. But the main thing that it is, it's called science of mind. Science of whose mind? Science of your mind. Or science of the one mind, which we call the mind of God. And realize that we truly do live, move, and have our being in that one mind. There is no other way that you can do. That's why there is no separation. There's not two minds going on here in this universe. There is only one. So there's never any opposition going on. There's never good and evil forces pulling against each other. There is only this thing called good or called love going on. When you see, feel anything other than that, your mind is doing that. And your ego part of the mind is doing that. And it's clouding your vision. And you start to believe your mind, or you start to be convinced by the world. And when I say there's no evil out there, people say, well, then why are all these people getting killed? Why is this going on? Why are all these nasty people? Da, 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 da. All of that is absolutely true. All that stuff is going on. Does it have anything to do with you? Only if you allow yourself to be drawn into it. And then you're living in that reality. And that reality does exist. But it's not a necessary reality, and it's not a true reality. The only true reality is the reality of love. The reality of God is the only reality. So what we want to do is bring our thinking into alignment with what we think God is doing. So it's learning to think God thoughts after it. So when you have good thoughts, when you build yourself, when you have good self-esteem and so forth, you are drawing closer and closer to this thing that we call God. When you're putting yourself down, when you have low self-esteem and all, you are doing that. No power out there is doing that. This thing called God always holds you in the highest of esteem. And you must learn to hold yourself in the highest of esteem. You must learn to forgive yourself. Start over. If you have to start over every minute, then start over every minute. Because this thing called God holds nothing against you. You hold things against yourself with your thinking. It's always done with the mind. It's always done with your thinking. And it's always done with choice. Therein lies the freedom that you have. If you think something is happening to you and you have no control over it and no choice to choose out of it, you have turned your life over to your mind, or you've turned your life over to this thing that we call the world, which is very convincing. So the whole idea of this teaching is learning to think correctly. What do we mean when we say correctly? That you are one with this thing called God, and that you are totally good, 100% good, not 99%. You are the full expression of God's love, full expression, not partial. And this is where we get into trouble. We think, oh yes, well, we have a little bit of this, that, and the other thing. I often use this little thing. God is not in you, like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. You are not separated from this whole thing. But many people say, oh yeah, God's in here somewhere, you know. God's in there everywhere. And God's in you 100%. See? Not this other thing that people conjured up called the other thing. I don't even use that word. You have to know that you're 100% pure God. 100% pure God. And then start to believe that and start to use this wonderful mind that you have to bring into your life what you want. We are not here to suffer. This is not for people who want to suffer. If you want to suffer, I'm sure there's a brand name church that will allow you to do that and think that it's an honorable thing to do and that you are growing closer and closer to God the more you suffer. That is a bunch of twaddle. Do not listen to it. Do not listen to it. You are here to enjoy this wonderful experience. You are here to enjoy your life. And in order to do that, you must get rid of all the baggage that you are carrying. And most of the baggage that you are carrying are experiences from the past that were horrible. Those things are gone. Those things are gone. Let them go. They have nothing to do with you whatsoever. So just think of that and get rid of all the baggage. Just get rid of everything. And know that you are pure. Pure God. That's as easy and as simple as it can get. But you allow your mind to convince you that there is something wrong with you. That you did something in your past that you must atone for. There is no such thing as atonement, people. There is no such thing as salvation. You have never been lost. Therefore, you can't be saved. You're already saved. You're part of this thing called God. Part of this thing called God. So, before we start questions and answers, will you turn to John and say, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter.
How did you start off? Sorry,
I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter.
All right. I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter.
I am worthy, deserving, And I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. Now, we're going to open it up for questions and answers, but just to do a case in point here, that the way the mind works and so forth. For I don't know how many years that you people have come here, I use worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. But yet when you have to do it and say it, it goes right out of your mind. It goes right out of your mind.
Absolutely.
The mind does not want you to know that. Your mind does not want you to know that. That's that small part that we call the ego mind. Because if you start to realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter, the ego gets very frightened. And it says, how about me? What am I going to do now? You're saying? So you have to talk to the ego and say, thank you very much for bringing me to this point. Now I'm going to take over. And I'm going to run my life. Not you. Because most people have a big ring in their nose and they allow their ego to jerk them this way and that way. And that's why I tell you that your mind is very convincing. Your ego mind is very convincing. And how many times have you heard me? The mind does not want you to learn who you really are. It doesn't want you to know that. So you have to be diligent. And that has to come right up each time. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. So I do that day in and day out. Because it has to sink in. And it's the same way as I tell you that you're one with God. You have to keep saying that till it filters down and you start to really believe it. Okay? So with that, we'll open questions.
Talking about things that you can't remember, can you remind me what the three things are? I can do this and more. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And
all things are possible with God. And that goes in and out of everyone's minds immediately. Okay? So, yes, repeat them, Andy.
I can do all this through God who strengthens me. I can do this and more. All things are possible with God.
Yeah.
What's the first one, Andy?
I can do all things through God who strengthens me.
So, these are the things that you have to remember, let's say. The other one that you always have to remember is I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Very. So get your mind to accept that you are being divinely guided. If you're not being divinely guided, then your ego is the driving force in your life. And it is the one that's telling you you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough. As soon as you have any of those thoughts, it's got to be the ego. It's got to be the ego. Why is it so important to know that you're divinely guided? Because you have to know that you're always being taken care of. Now, being divinely guided does not indicate anything about predestination. We're not teaching predestination here, and I do not believe in predestination. And this teaching, by the way, does not believe in predestination. You are here to learn. You are here to learn to enjoy life. You're here to learn to love yourself. But the main thing is you have to know that you are being taken care of. That this thing called God loves you so much that it is always going to take care of you. But our mind tells us, no, somebody else has to do that, or I have to do that myself. You see. And that's that whole idea of surrendering. That's that whole idea of letting go and letting God. And we're afraid to let go and let God because we think, maybe God won't give me what I want, but I don't want, oh God, I may not want that. You see? What you have to bring yourself to the realization is that regardless of how big something is that you want, and that you can think of this wonderful thing that's going to make your life just grand, God knows something better. God knows something better. So you do not have to be afraid that God is ever going to give you less. But we grow up thinking that we are less. We are less than always. Our mind says, well, you're less than that person. They have more money than you do. You're less than that person because that person's better looking than you. That person lives in a better house. That person. So our minds start to say we are less than. And then what do? We get on that treadmill to catch up with the Joneses. If you're on a treadmill trying to catch up with the Joneses, you are not living your life. You are not living your life. When I said earlier that there is only God, that means there is no competition whatsoever. God doesn't compete against himself, and you do not have to compete with anyone because you are an individualized expression of God. Your life is turning out exactly the way it's supposed to turn out. It has nothing to do with the outside world and money. My college roommate was with me for 5 days. He has a wonderful job in Washington, makes over $120,000 a year. He's got, on the outside, investments, properties, he's got all these things. Do I compare myself with him? Oh, my mind wants to. It wants to say, Dallas, he's a success and you're a failure. But that's not true. You see, it's not true. You cannot do that judging with other people. His life is unfolding the way it is supposed to unfold. And is he any happier? Does he love himself any more because he has money, properties, and all the other trinkets? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's all right to have all those things, people. I'm not saying don't do that. Make as much money as you want to make. But don't think that that is the end-all, be-all. That boils down to that old thing. You can't take any of that stuff with you. You will never be able to leave this plane of action with any of this stuff that's here. So as I say in unity, look around and know that you're just using these things now. You are borrowing them. Someday they will belong to somebody else. They will not stay your property. And once you realize that, I'm just using these, makes your life so much easier. Nothing belongs to you. Only your consciousness. And that's what you're here to improve. Not, I don't mean here in this room, I mean here on this plane of action. You are here to bring yourself to the realization of who you really are. And you are here to bring yourself to the realization, I'm having a wonderful time. This is a grand, great adventure. And there's no stress, struggle, strain, or sacrifice in my life. Everything comes to me easily and effortlessly, under grace, in wonderful ways. Now, I'll take a question. Otherwise, you know I babble. Questions?
How would you answer the ego? I mean, it's relatively easy to see that, when someone has more than you. Yes. So how do you answer the ego when you put yourself above others? I mean, that would be the opposite side of that, right? Or, I mean, ego is the same.
So, well, in both people. Well, everyone has. You're building your ego. You're the one that's manufacturing that ego mind, and it can do anything that it wants to. You can make it as big as you want or as small as you want. You're the one that's making those decisions. Does that answer your question? Does that help you? You're doing that. But then if you live from your ego, now you must obey that ego. Now you must obey that ego. Decide this day what God you're going to worship. Are you going to worship your ego? Are you going to think it's the controlling factor in your life? Or are you going to become a witness to your own thinking? And are you going to be able to see your ego and see what it's doing to you? Now, Our ego got us all where we got to today. So you have to give it some type of credit. But if it's causing any angst in you, then you must correct that. And you must realize, and the reason we suffer so is because we think we're less than, and we think we don't do enough, we don't have enough, and we're not enough. And you have to know that you are all those things. And you always have enough. Yes, you can have more, but you always have enough. And this is why people go after money and so forth. Money is never enough for them. They always need more. Doesn't matter how much you give them, they want more. Then there are other people. They're going in a different direction, and the money is always there for them. Now, it may not be $1 billion, but there's always enough money to keep you living in a wonderful, wonderful way. I told this once before, and I'll tell it once again. You must remember that there's such a thing as spiritual economics, and you must stop being convinced of the world that when the world tells you that economics is this, this, and this, you must say, but there's a higher plane to go to, and there is such a thing called spiritual economics. What do I mean by spiritual economics? Stop placing a value on things. You say, I have a dollar, therefore I can only get this. I have a dollar, and I say, oh, isn't that wonderful? That dollar can get this, 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 this. Somebody else says, oh, no, you need $1,000 to get all that. No, I use spiritual economics, and my dollar does it all. Difficult one, huh? Because you're the one that's placing the value on money. Money has no value of its own. You place the money. You place the value on money. If once you realize that money has no value whatsoever, you are the one that's giving it the value, then you can stretch that. The same way I have to do that one, but I will since I opened my mouth. Same way you can stretch and shrink time, you stretch and shrink and stretch and shrink. Sorry, strength. Well, money. You see. So think of that when you think, oh, I only have this much. Say, there's something else going on here. There's this thing called spiritual economics. And that's going to multiply that money.
So how do you do that?
By doing it and by believing it. That's how you do anything, by believing that it can be done. Everything is done with belief, my dear. Now, I proved this, so I'm not talking out of my rear end here. I knew perfectly well that there's such a thing as spiritual economics, and when I want something, I never think of the value, I never think of the money, but I get what I want. Do I have large sums of money? Absolutely not. And what would I do if I had large sums of money? Put it in the bank? But if I want something, it's there. It's just a different way of thinking, people. But you're convinced by the world, and you're convinced by the economics of the world, and you're convinced that the stock market does this, that, and the other thing. The stock market is only a reflection of consciousness. And at the present moment, why it's doing the crazy things it's doing is because everyone is living in fear. And that's the consciousness that we're living in. So the stock market is not going to straighten out until that consciousness straightens out. See? And when does anyone think, now not spiritual economics, but worldly economics, when's it going to straighten out? What's the consensus? 5 years. talk to people, say, we'll have to put up with this for 5 years. In 5 years, it'll be different. Do you hear that all the time? In 5 years. So that's exactly what we're going to get, is 5 years of this. Because that's the consciousness. All we're ever teaching here is mind. All we're ever teaching here is consciousness. There is nothing but that. It's a mental world we live in. But we keep being convinced that something else is going on. There is nothing going on but your thinking. And that is causing everything. Did that help you?
Yes.
All of the spiritual books I've been introduced to regarding spiritual prosperity all say that you have to have everything in order. You have to pay your bills on time. You have to have your house in order. Everything has to be organized because it's a reflection of your mind.
Right.
Therefore, it's a reflection in the atmosphere whether you're attracting prosperity to you or not.
I've used this, and I've told you this many times, and here's another one that you forget. What's the first law of heaven? Order. Can you see heaven being chaos?
Yeah.
Order is the first law of heaven. Always go for order. I'm a very orderly person. I put things in rows. I put everything orderly. Your mind outpictures. What do I mean by that? If you have confusion in your mind, I can tell you exactly what your house looks like. Because it outpictures itself. It's like a slip. It always shows. If it's showing, it's going to show. Order is always the first law of heaven. Clean a closet, organize, and so forth. Every time you do anything, you're not working with the closet. You're working with your mind. When you use your hand and you clean something, you have to know, oh, I'm cleaning my mind. I'm not cleaning the table. I'm cleaning my mind. I'm putting things in order. But you see, you're living, you think you're rearranging the outside. You're always rearranging in here. Anything you do has to start in mind. So when you clean your closet or anything, your mind is reorganizing. You throw out all that stuff that you no longer wear. You're throwing old thoughts out of your head. It's only mind, people. Stop this thing of thinking that it's a closet or it's a this or it's a that. It's only mind. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
You see, it's just everything is an extension of you. Everything, your car is an extension of you. All the appliances in your home are an extension of you. They listen to you. They don't listen to anything else. I say, thank you, Toaster, for always working. Remember the man that I worked for? He said, oh, well, that coffee maker's broke again. I said, really? He said, oh, no, they break every 2 years. I said, I don't know. I've had mine for about 20. It doesn't break. Oh, no, they break. It's his consciousness doing that. Cars, oh, I always get a lemon. Then you always get a lemon with your car. It's outpicturing. Your mind is outpicturing everything. What is going on in here, you see? When I was in Tennessee, we had these horrible thunderstorms. And my friend Doug the Baptist had just given me, at that time, the first, what are those VCRs that you put your tape in? And I hit it near a patio window. Was it for decorating purposes? It looked good there. And that window was open, and I was out in this great big storm cave. When I came home, water was running out that thing was just sticking, like Niagara Falls, running out of this. Did I say, oh, that will never work at all? No, I said, that's mine. It's an extension of my thinking. It's an extension of my consciousness. It will dry out and work perfectly. It dried out and worked perfectly. No short circuits, no nothing, none of that stuff. Everything. I told you this, people, before. Everything is an extension of your consciousness. Everything. It's not you in the car. It's you and your consciousness is a car. What do you think about your car? You're saying. Everything is an extension of you and your thinking. It's a mental world. It's done with consciousness. First law of heaven is always order. Always get yourself into order. I have a young man that's in complete chaos all the time. I saw his car. I would not get in it. It is so junked full of stuff and all. It's just dreadful. He looks like the junk man. You think I can explain to him? He looks like a junk man. That's an extension. His car looks like him. How many people know that thing with an animal, a dog? If you live long enough with your dog, you start to look like the dog, and the dog starts to look like you. It's an extension of your consciousness. Well, maybe you do, and you don't know that. But think, please, mental world, consciousness. Don't be convinced by this stuff that's out here. And get order in your life. And you get order in your life by cleaning a drawer, organizing. You start doing that, and you'll see other things come in to your life. They have to. It's a vibration that you're putting out there. This teaching is simple, very easy. Done with your thinking, done with your mind, an extension. Starts here. Starts here. So, order, always the first law. Question? Can I talk about health? I would love to talk about health. What would you like to know about health?
Well, it's always been, I don't know if it's science of mind or how many degrees separated from families who have believed that they don't need medical science in order to become better, healthier, and that when their children are sick and diseased, that they don't take them to doctors because they believe in them.
Okay.
Their children die, that's it.
He is talking Christian science. This teaching is religious science. Here's the difference. Religious science does not deny that there's an illness. It does not deny that you have an illness. It denies the necessity for it. Because there is no illness in the mind of God. No illness in the mind of God. Christian science says illness is an illusion. Well, everything happens to be an illusion. But they think that's an illusion. And that they, if you don't pay attention to the illusion, you will get better. Here's the story. A woman who belonged to a Christian Giant church didn't show up for several Sundays. And when she did show up, the minister said to her, "Where have you been? We haven't seen you for a while." And she said, "My husband's been sick." And he said, "Oh no, your husband just thinks he's sick. He's not really sick." She said, "Oh, okay." She left. Weeks passed and she came back. And the minister said, "How's your husband doing?" And she looked at him and said, "Now he thinks he's dead."
Oh, boy.
In anything, if your faith is powerful enough, Mary Baker Eddy was a great healer. And back when all this healing and all these movements started, we did not have all the medicines that we have today. We did not have the minor clinics, the major clinics, the trauma clinics, the hospitals on every corner and so forth. So people had to rely on themselves to get better and to heal themselves. We gave our power away. You must always use wisdom. Religious science says this: you must remember that God is in a prayer or a pill. You see, you can't have a pill without God being in it. But with all this stuff, you have to use wisdom. You have to use wisdom. And we know now that many, many pharmaceuticals are toxic to the body. You see? So you have to decide how to do it. Now, I am not recommending this because I don't want the American Medical Association to close me down. I take no pharmaceuticals whatsoever. And I remain healthy. And 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with HIV, and 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with AIDS. I do not show any of those symptoms. I remain asymptomatic. And I'm not bragging here, and I'm not suggesting that other people, if you have a regimen and anything you're doing for yourself, it's working, do it. And I'm not here, as my mentor used to say to me, "Dallas, please stop trying to taunt the universe." No, no. I'm not trying to do that. These were decisions that I made. And I stick to them, and I build a belief system around that. Now, when the doctor goes and carries on so and says this and blah, 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 I just say to him, "Now look, let's look at it this way. If I drop over dead, you'll be right. And if I don't, I'll be right. So let me go on about my merry business, please." Many things can happen. You can pick things. But with health, you have to remember, go back to this thing and use your imagination and say, can you picture God being ill? If there is this thing called God, can you picture this God being ill? If God is all-knowing, all-present, and all this, that, and the other thing, can God get ill? Apparently not. So if God can't get ill, and I'm one with God, what am I doing getting ill? Therefore, there's no necessity for illness. Illness usually comes, if not always, because the person is punishing themselves for something. And we're convinced, of course, the other little things, we're convinced about colds and so forth. And we get colds because it's the cold season, it's this season and that season. Now, the biggest, one of the biggest hoaxes, which you should remember, is what was that big flu that was going to hit? The NHIPD 1736 or whatever it was. It never did it. But they can, were trying to convince everyone to get the shot, but no one made the shot. Remember, you couldn't get it. Well, but it was in scarce. Of course, you would have gotten it.
What?
I said, of course, you would have gotten it. I could see that. But it never took on the power that they wanted it to do.
Dallas, don't you?
Because people stop believing.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think illnesses also come from inner stress?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, well, yes, but we cause that ourselves.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Everything is self-inflicted. There's no thing that's not self-inflicted. There is no God inflicting something on you. If you're suffering from anything, it's a self-inflicted thing. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say that, do not go through your mind and say, oh my God, I'm the worst person in the world, and I'm not that, and then go into shame, guilt, and fear, and all the rest of the stuff. Here's when you put your mind out there and you look at it and you say, oh, that's ego, that's this, get rid of this, get rid of that. You have to become a witness to your own thinking. You are not your thinking. Now, here's the next thing about health. You are not your disease, but yet you think if you have a disease that that disease belongs to you and that is you. It is not. It's a small part of something that's going on, and you latch onto that small part instead of going, ha ha, but there's something else going on which is bigger and better inside of me. But we allow fear to come in, and they say, oh, that's going to grow, and that's going to, oh, this is going to develop, and this is going to get worse, and that's, and we believe all those things. Just remember, there's no illness in the mind of God. There's no sickness in the mind of God. And I am not denying that people are sick. I'm denying the necessity for it. You get the difference? And you get the difference between religious science and Christian science? Yes.
I know that Mary Baker Eddy was one of the founders of
Christian Science.
Christian Science or religious science?
Christian Science. Yeah. The founder of religious science was Ernest Holmes, one individual. Mary Baker Eddy, one individual. There was also divine science. There was all kinds of sciences out there.
They come about at the same time.
Yeah, they all came about around the same time. There was a big surge of spiritual thought. And it was very powerful at the time. And Ernest Holmes used to heal tons of people. And Ernest Holmes had a hospital here. I don't know, people don't know that. No, because the American Medical Association closed it down because you're not allowed to practice medicine. The American Medical Association, I'm not saying they're bad or what, I'm just telling you the way they operate. You cannot get into their turf because they're afraid that they won't make enough money. You see, if somebody could heal you and they can't charge you $1 million to heal you, and this person can say, drink this tea, they're not going to allow that to happen. Why don't they push vitamins and herbs and so forth? There's no profit in it. You cannot put a patent on an herb. So there's no money involved in it, and there's no way you can make money in it. So they will not touch that. You can't go to a doctor, he's going to say, oh, I think you should use tea tree oil or something. Very rarely are you going to. What else do doctors not do? They will not talk about nutrition. Do, is anyone here, well, you two do the microbiotics, right? There isn't one disease known to man that cannot be cured with the proper food. Not one. But we're convinced that we need a pharmaceutical. Everything we live in the Garden of Eden here, people. Everything that's out there is out there to help you, to cure something. So, be responsible for your own health. That's all. And look into things. Question? Yes.
Do you have an opinion about the program called A Course in Miracles?
Yes, I have it. Do you want to hear it? Do I have about the Course in Miracles? Do I have the Course in Miracles has been studied up one side and down the other. Of course, we have Marianne Williamson and all these other people teaching it. It has a great deal to say, and I often use many of its little sayings and so forth. But it comes away, if you've studied the Course in Miracles long enough, you develop shame and you develop guilt. Because of the doctrines, if you keep reading it and so forth, they keep putting blame here, there, and everywhere. That's only my opinion. It's not really only my opinion. There are other people who think that too. But that's my opinion at the present moment. When I had Course in Miracles. I did Course in Miracles. And I use Course in Miracles. But anything that you're doing, people, you must keep an open mind. But that, not that open that your brains fall out. You're saying? There is a grain of truth running through everything. Do I think Ernest Holmes had all the answers? Absolutely not. Neither did Ernest Holmes. He always said, you must remember that this is a growing teaching and it must always remain open at the top. As soon as he said that, they started to make churches out of it, and they put a lid right on it and said, you can't do that because here, this, that, and the other. And they stopped it. You must continually grow. You must continually stretch your consciousness. There is wonderful things out there. You say, learn. Learn. It's all about learning and it's all about knowledge. And when I say learn, learn about yourself and how your mind is doing things to you. There's only mind, people. Forget about the neighbor and the barking dog and all that kind of stuff that's irritating you. That's not irritating you at all. It's your thinking about that's irritating you. When you change your thinking, the dog will stop barking. That help anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Tom, do you have a question? Pardon?
I do not have a question.
Oh, okay. Do you have an answer?
No. The one thing, Lisa is doing your 21 days egg.
Oh, yes, that's me.
If you could just go over that one more time, that would be helpful.
Well, the whole idea of the egg, of course, is everything is contained within that egg that you need. And apparently, at the present moment, salmonella.
Right.
Now, my question is, how did the salmonella get in here? And no one can seem to answer that for me. It should not be in there. Then my other question about the eggs are, 500 million eggs, where did they put them when they recalled them? Did they smash them up? I mean, it would be a river. Where? What would you do with all, you know, we're recalling a half a billion eggs. Where do they go to? A big omelet? I mean, what do they do with these eggs? You know?
Make
sense.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah, I think of these things, you know, my mind works in strange and mysterious ways. Back to your question about the egg. We use the egg simply because of the 21 days, and we know that a chicken, a little peep, will develop within 21 days inside of an egg. Without anything, it has everything inside there to do that for itself. So when you're doing that visualization and so forth, you must realize that what you're trying to manifest has all within it, everything to bring it to fruition. You see, nothing needs to be added. This is the point that most people think you have to add something. You're not baking a cake. You don't have to add these ingredients to anything. So you start with that, and the 21 days is just used symbolically, you see, because it has a lot of power, and the egg is a symbol around the world of new life. There isn't one culture that if you hold up an egg wouldn't say, oh, new life. So it's very powerful. You see? Why is it very powerful? Because it's in the consciousness of the world. It's in the consciousness of everyone on this planet. Therefore, it's very powerful. So when you're visualizing, you visualize your egg. And you know that you don't have to add anything to that. You have to allow it to grow and manifest for itself. Once you have an idea, nothing has to be added to the idea. The idea contains within itself everything that's necessary to bring it to fruition. But people want to tamper with it all the time. An idea is just like a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, it's going to sprout, it's going to do something. Where does that sprouting? It's contained within that seed. Didn't I bring in my zinnia seed? It was wafer thin. I mean, how could that thing? Well, you should see my zinnias. I have 50 of them at the present moment on my table. Oh, just love them. Everything was in that little thing. So when you get an idea, you have to know, what do you have to know when you get an idea right away? It's a divine idea. Therefore, it contains everything to bring it to fruition. And it's doing that now. You don't have to tamper with it.
Symbolically, you just reminding yourself?
Absolutely. There's no power in that. Where's the only power, people? It's in the present moment and is within you, and the only thing is God, which is first cause. We use all these other little things symbolically to strengthen our thinking and to strengthen our consciousness, you see. The same way when people want to do this treatment work and they want to go down the 5 steps or the 7 steps. I don't even remember the 5 or 7 steps. They're only there to organize your mind, to give you some order. To give you some order. Does that help you? There's nothing, and there's nothing mystical and magical. Give up that idea that it's mystical and magical, people. Oh boy, I know the secret to that. You don't know the secret to that. Go ahead.
I've read recently along the same lines that when you're placing your order with the universe, it's like ordering a pizza. You don't sit around calling them up and saying, where's my pizza?
Right.
But my question as a follow-up to that is, when you have requested something and it has not appeared yet, when do you treat again for it, or how do you best treat again, but without digging it up and starting over?
Well, you have to know that everything is in divine right timing. And you see, there's no time in the mind of God. There's only time in our minds, and there's only time on this plane of action. So you have to know that that is coming to you. You're saying, but what our ego mind wants to say, no, but it has to be done in a month. has to be done in this length of time. And you have to let all that idea of time go out of your, you know, just let it go. And then the thing will pop up in front of you. See, it's very difficult because you're trying to do something spiritual. And this plane of action is not spiritual, it's mental. So you have to always move up to a spiritual level. But you have to know why you're doing that, that it's a mental world that you live in. Where does this stuff take place? It doesn't take place on this plane of action. It takes place up here. Okay. I'll tell you this one. Close your eyes a moment. And visualize yourself leaving this plane of action, which we're going to call the mental plane. And just see it as a strata, a layer. And on top of this mental layer, there is a spiritual layer. So now you're just going to go up in consciousness to that spiritual level, okay? Now here you are on this spiritual level. Now here on this spiritual level, it's not a physical level, it's not a mental level, it's a spiritual level. So here, lo and behold, you can create anything that you want instantly. So now that you're on this spiritual level, create what you want. The job, or the movie, whatever. Think of one thing. Now, see that very clearly, and it's on the mental plane, it's on the spiritual plane. Now you see it there. That's why we use this expression, everything is already done in the mind of God. So now it's already done. But my goodness, here it is. On the spiritual plane. And I'm down here on this mental plane. I want it down here in this mental plane. But it's on the spiritual plane. What am I going to do? All right. You're going to make a hole in the spiritual plane. Now you make that hole in that spiritual plane, you look down, you say, oh, there's the mental plane. Now you're going to shove what you created in that hole, and it's going to drop down onto the mental plane. Now, it has taken clothes and dwelt among you. You can come back when you're ready. Now, can you see how that's done? That's the way it's done, people. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.